The following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Everybody, and welcome to a very abbreviated episode of Full Press Coverage Radio Live. My name is Ian Glendon, and I am joined, as always, by, he is my tag team partner, Mike. How are we doing today? An introduction.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. An introduction only befitting of you. And that's right. I changed it up. I didn't get you the traditional hello because, again, we were very short shifted today. So I figured I'd change it up, you know, throw a whole curveball at you here.
Well, I'm very kind of glad you did. You know, Ian, it's unbelievable. Here we are, FPC Radio Live. Dig it.
Cream will rise to the top.
That's right. Cream of the crop, I rise to the top. Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. You may not like it, but accept it. Oh, yeah.
Randy was one of a kind. You cannot top that.
Honestly, you really can't. I mean, the amount of I don't know. I don't know what to describe what it was that he had. Was it, I don't know. It was just the way he conducted himself. It was so unique. It was so just like... I mean, it was so goofy, but so serious at the same time. Like, the cream, right? You know, and then you see his, like, veins pop. I mean, again, there's a lot of reasons why he had veins popping out of his neck. But, you know, the intensity was surely one of the reasons.
Yes, the intensity was, yeah, definitely, by all stretches. So, you know, anytime you can start the show with a Randy Savage mention, I'm all for it.
Well, actually, you know, here's the thing. It's, like, the great part about having the XFL in season now, it gives us such an easy... excuse to bring up anything wrestling related. And I'm going to admit this stemmed from a conversation we had in one of our little Twitter group chats last night. I just found out that not only does the WWE Network have all the former previous pay-per-views on there, they also have all the Raw and SmackDowns on there, which I did not know. Because I never really venture too much into the app. I just go on and throw random pay-per-views on, and I think that's what it was before when it first launched. But apparently, you can go back and watch every Raw and SmackDown. And,
Yeah, that I actually discovered that about a month ago, and that really is, I find myself going back to some of the old Raws back in the day, especially when they were going head on head with Nitro. And,
yeah.
You know, it was, we've talked about this several times being on this show before, and how you used to switch back and forth mm-hmm. and flip back and forth. The kids today would never understand it. They would never, ever be able to understand it. They'd be like, oh, well, you can do this. You can stream on one device. You can stream on the, no, we didn't have that.
No.
We had to flip back and forth. We had to do it the old fashioned way. You know, the back in my day.
That, yeah, get that pip in there. Pitcher in pitcher, my friend.
Absolutely.
The worst invention ever.
I had a
whoever
oh,
uses,
it was terrible. I had a pitcher in pitcher on mine. It was terrible. I mean, you had this little tiny box in the corner. You can't see anything that's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the main screen obviously was the main screen for a reason. So yeah, it was just, yeah, that was a mess. But excellent. That's really, really a good point. And I think something that our listeners, if they are listening to us, they know we're huge wrestling nuts. So, I think it's good that we enlighten the public that you can go back and watch the Raws and the SmackDowns.
Well, it's just going to send me down this rabbit hole of basically going back, because I think I've worked it out. I've tried to determine when and where I should start. Because I think I'm going to attempt to watch everything, you know, relive... you know, my time as a wrestling fan through the shows, and again, it'll be fun to kind of go through, and I know which ones I've been through, you know, which Raw and SmackDown shows I went to as a kid, what pay-per-views, so it's always fun to go back and say, like, oh, yeah, that's right, I was at the show, I remember that, and, you know, I briefly watched, or before I discovered this, I rewatched SummerSlam 2003, an event that I happened to attend. It was very fun. It was Triple H for Shawn Michaels, the return, his first match. Since that's right, 1998 WrestleMania in Boston, got knocked out by Mike Tyson there. Mike Tyson, yeah,
yep.
So I had a blast. I was watching that. I you know, just when they were panning through the audience, I swear I saw signs that I recognized. You know, when I just remember being, you know what I mean, like certain ones that just stuck out. You know, especially I was a big Shawn Michaels fan, big Rockers fan, so I was really excited to see him return to the ring. So there's a lot of Shawn Michaels signs up there. So I remember a few of them pretty vividly, and just doing the pan across the arena was pretty good. So I'm thinking about going back and doing Raw, SmackDown, Raw, just, you know, watch right through and kind of, you know, relive the last 20 years of professional wrestling, or at least a good 10-year span, you know, where I was really really into it, of course.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's fun being able to go back through, you know, the one question that I do have for you, and that I actually didn't see, believe it or not, I have to check this out later. Do they have Nitros on there? Now, that would be really amazing if they had Raw, SmackDown, and they had Nitro on there, too.
That could be
interesting, because they own the whole catalog now.
That's true.
So you have to wonder whether or not. I don't know. I think there's something to be said that Vince is glad that he has the catalogs for WCW and be able to use the old NWA footage and all that. And he's done a great job with it. But I don't know. I think there's still something about Vince that prevents him from wanting to view Nitro on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I think he still has bad flashbacks. That still gets to him. You have to admit, I think that probably still is a source of satisfaction for Vince that he was able to squash that when they really went out to bury him. And if you watch the Monday Night Wars DVD, you can still see that he still takes a great deal of pride in that. I'm sure he does to this day, but that could be interesting to watch.
No, absolutely, and I'll definitely look into that, because like I said, I was so excited to be able to, you know, the funny thing was is I just said this the other day to someone, you know, just talking about, you know, oh, I wish they had a catalog of Raw and SmackDown, and lo and behold, they do. So yeah, I was pretty excited about that. I'm certainly gonna enjoy watching a few, especially, and we've talked about this one before, the famous, we want the old Stone Cold, you know, I'm gonna go bust up the bar down in Providence, Rhode Island, you know, while I contemplate whether or not I join the Alliance or the WWF. I was there. I'm gonna watch that one. Of course.
Well, if you want to brush with stardom, my friend, I will take you back to, and I don't remember the exact date of this, but this was the build-up to Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon at WrestleMania.
Ooh.
And this is in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and a friend of mine had a house up there, so we drove up for the night, and we spent the night up there, and we went to Raw in Bridgeport, Connecticut to watch this event, because it was going to be the confrontation finally between Vince and between Hulk Hogan. And we had amazing seats that year. We got them through a contact, and we were about three or four rows back. And there is the moment where Hogan's standing in the ring and Vince is standing up on the dais and the SmackDown dais. This was what the fist coming through the Titantron. So this was pretty cool. And you can, if you look in the front row, you'll see five morons holding up Hogan. I am one of those morons. I'm holding, I believe I held up the O. So if you go back and you watch this was the supposedly the shoot between Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon, where he says, "You testified me against the federal government," and Hogan tells him to kiss his ass. It was a great exchange. If you don't watch the whole show, watch it for just that purpose. And if you take a look, you will see me holding up one of those signs. So
I am going to make it my goal today to tweet out the photo of that. So folks, if you're listening, if you're watching, we will tweet it from the @FPC Radio Live account, because again, that's classic. That's some good stuff right there. Here's the thing. I don't know if I ever got on camera during a wrestling event. I, you know, obviously, you know, nowadays it doesn't seem like too, you know, it's whatever. There's cameras everywhere. You know, back then, you know, I wasn't bringing a cell phone to, you know, record these wrestling shows. I mean, hell, I didn't even have a cell phone until, 2003, something like that. I don't know. Junior in high school, I got it. You know, it was one of those Nokia ones. So, you know, again, you go there.
He still doesn't, folks. He's using the tin cans and the string method to communicate, believe it or
not.
Well, that's what I'm using. Honestly, I mean, obviously, with all my internet problems, no one would have any problem believing that with me.
I was going to say, a few people probably do believe that with me, considering how bad I am at returning phone calls sometimes. So it's like, well, maybe he is using a tin can system. You know, that would make sense.
Well, there's also the Rocky Balboa method. You just shove your head out the window and just yell up the street. You know, that always works, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, just yell out the, you know, everything.
You got to live close, though. You know, I mean, you know, the airwaves only go so far, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can yell pretty loud, but, you know, we'll see. But anyways, I did want to bring up, I'm glad we started talking about wrestling and all that stuff, because we got a pretty interesting thing. And one of the short clips I watched Raw, a part of Raw from January 3rd, 2000. Okay, this is how far I started back. You know, it was so late last night, I couldn't really sit there and I couldn't justify staying up until God knows what hour watching Raw and SmackDown from 20 years ago. I mean, there's a lot of things I could really justify it with. I needed my sleep. I needed my beauty sleep. So, but I'm glad we brought that up, because that was the beginning of the McMahon-Helmsley era, The Rock. You know, this was the feud heading into WrestleMania 2000, where you had the Fatal 4-Way and McMahon in every corner. You could see the seeds get planted in that very first episode with The Rock coming out and, you know, being very, you know, peak Rock, you know, asking, so who are my opponents? Well, as a matter, it doesn't matter, you know, the whole deal. That was peak entertainment Rock. It was great. It was fantastic. I bring him up to bring this up. We got a potentially fourth generation Johnson. Okay. That sounded really, whatever.
Yeah. I was going to say, we didn't think that one through, folks, but you know what? But I allow my friend a little problem. It's been a little bit of a rough morning here at FPC Radio Live, but we're chugging along. Give him a break, folks. Don't hold him to that.
We fly off the handle here, so sometimes we don't necessarily think about the combination of words and how it sounds. But a potentially fourth from the Johnson line, let's just put it that way, has begun her WWE career. And that's right, that is The Rock's daughter. Has signed her WWE training contract. And look, there's very few people celebrity-wise in this world that I would say I look up to and admire as much as I do The Rock. And it, for so many reasons, obviously entertainment value, but, you know, from a pure humanity standpoint and at least the perception that we all get from him, from, you know, obviously knowing him from a distance and watching him in social media and on television and how he interacts with people, he seems like an incredibly great person. On top of obviously being an incredibly great entertainer, all that stuff. But there's so many things I liked about The Rock, just, you know, from being a kid and now being an adult and admiring, you know, some of the things that he does. And, you know, this kind of comes on the heels of his dad passing away not too long ago. And, you know, for him, I know he's obviously proud and very involved with his children, and this is going to be an interesting thing, because you know we've seen over the last 10 years or so an evolution of the women's wrestling division, and it's gone less away from the quote-unquote diva era to now you actually have, you know, really skilled and talented female wrestlers that, I mean, they've always been there. It's just, you know, again, you know, times change and, you know, sometimes it takes you a little bit to catch up. And, you know, that's not to say that some of the women wrestlers of the past weren't good. It's just the motivation of the company and the motivation of the programming, you know, made it more so that they were more objects to oogle at, you know, as bad as that sounds. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's what, you know, they brought them out to do. But now you've seen this great shift from now not just being part of the show to being the show. And I love it personally, because, again, it adds a whole different flavor to wrestling, a sport, yes, a sport that I enjoy and I still do it in times. But I'm excited. You know, hey, another potentially people's champ in the making coming up.
Well, she definitely comes from good stock. There's no question about it. And, you know, it's one of those things where charisma and, you know, the ability to captivate an audience is something that her father was so good at. I would make the argument The Rock may be the best at working a crowd. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of Hogan stands are going to come at me with that. And look, I was peak Hulk Hogan, you know, a fan back in the day. You know, I grew up, as a very young child in the 80s, and Hulkamania was huge, and it really was. And he, to me, I think it was no bigger star when it came to wrestling. But you take a look at what The Rock was able to do on the microphone and how he was able to captivate an audience. I still think to this day he was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to do it. In terms of in-ring skill, you know his daughter, I believe her name is, you know, she's going to be doing everything she can to not only live up to the legacy of her father, but create her own legacy. So she's going to be highly motivated. I think it's an exciting time. It's definitely an exciting time for The Rock. There's no question about it, but it's an exciting time for their family. You wish her the best of health and hope that, you know, everything, you know, continues to go well with her career. Injuries can always be an issue that no one ever wants to see. And I know, you know, The Rock had mentioned about the threat of injury always being a concern of his when he was wrestling, but ultimately, if she does the training the right way, I think this could be a really good fit. So big score for the WWE, no question about it. There'll be a lot of buzz. We're talking about it here this morning, so know other people will be. I look forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see what we'll see if she's truly a chip off the old block, and I have every reason to believe she will be.
Did you know a little fun fact? I actually did a little bit of professional wrestling training in my time. You know?
I did. You did tell me. Yes,
that's right. I tend to tell everyone that I know because
this is a true story, folks.
True story. When I was in high school, or towards the end, senior in high school, me and a buddy of mine, you know, we'd always talked about it. We used to, you know, do like fake wrestling matches. Like we used to, if anyone's familiar with the Framingham Natick area of Massachusetts, you know about Jordan's Furniture and how it's up on top of a hill overlooking Route 9 and has a big colorful wall for in front of the IMAX, all that stuff. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then just pretend. So we used to hang out up there, you know, as, you know, just after, you know, work and stuff during the summer, we go up there and drink and, drink water and exercise and stuff like that. Of course, you know, nothing high schoolers shouldn't be doing.
Double milk for these kids. No question about it.
I think that was just, you know, I think we determined that was the best place to go up and study. So of course, you know,
of course,
what we're doing, but you know, one day, one thing led to another, and me and my friend, decided that we were going to, put on a fake wrestling match in the parking lot because this was at like 11 o'clock at night. And then across the parking lot, we saw another group of people hanging out. Well, as it turns out, we did such a good job that, they started to call the police cause they thought we were fighting for real. And, you know, we fortunately were able to curve that a little bit. We're like, no, we swear, we're just joking. We're, you know, whatever. But anyways, we went to school, Chaotic Wrestling. It happened to merge with the Killer Kowalski School of Wrestling. Yeah, that's right. So before he passed away, I was able to meet him a couple times as he came to the school. And, you know, look, it was a lot of fun. It was something I always wanted to try just because, I mean, again, you and I, we both grew up, you know, loving wrestling. So it's like, who didn't want to get into that ring and come down and do all that stuff? You know, it was fun. I did it for about 6 months. Obviously, going to UMass kind of prevented that because if you know the area, once again, we're talking North Andover to Amherst. This is quite a trip, and especially when you're playing hockey at the same time too. It was one of those things I unfortunately had to give up. But credit to my buddy because he made it to quite some lengths to the point where he was actually down at NXT, and unfortunately an injury kind of prevented his career from continuing. But no, it was a lot of fun and something I'll always cherish and wish, you know, every once in a while I wish I could jump back in there and do it. But yeah, anyway, so we have a very short show today. I mean, complications getting online, so you know we're gonna try to wrap this up real quick. I do want to bring up one thing, and this is obviously something, another thing that's close, or at least something that, you know, obviously the sport I love the most, hockey. Last night, Jay Bouwmeester collapsed on the bench, and fortunately, he was alert and active on the way to the hospital, and he seems to be in a recovery mode. But You know, this is a scary, scary moment because, again, this is something that has happened. You know, we think back, we know from experience with the Bruins, Rich Peverly going through a very similar incident where it was a cardiac incident. We passed out on the bench. And, you know, really, if it hadn't been for the quick action of, you know, the medical staff's, you know, in the arena and everything like that, and the reaction of the players, I mean, we could be talking about a very tragic incident last night. And,
right.
You know, it's tough because it's like, again, this is something that you know, there's not too many signs, very obvious signs from the outside that something like this was going to happen. And we saw the camera footage of him just kind of slumping over on the bench and just kind of passing out. And, you know, again, you know, thankfully, the medical staff of both teams acted very quickly, and you know, we're talking about a guy who's now in recovery as opposed to, you know, maybe a tragic incident. So hats off to them, and you know, hopefully, you know, Jay, who by all accounts is an incredibly, you know, kind and good person, really recovers well, and yeah.
Yeah, you definitely hope so. I mean, it brings back shades. I remember growing up as a child and hearing about a similar situation with Reggie Lewis. And obviously that took a very tragic turn. We absolutely, from the bottom of both of our hearts, hope that that's not going to be the case with Jay. By all indications, this was an isolated incident. But things like this can be so scary. And we've seen, if something is, you know, taught us, especially in 2020, it's that nothing is guaranteed. You're never guaranteed the next day. Take care of yourself. Make sure that, you know, you always, you know, take every precaution to make sure that your health is paramount. And we wish him the best. Hopefully everything will be okay. But yeah, scary situation. Could have been a lot worse. Thankfully it turned out the way it did.
Yeah, and you know, we'll hopefully get some updates throughout the week and kind of find out how he's doing. You know, this is again not a transition I would like to make, but again, it's relevant. If you're watching here on Sportscaster, obviously you know we have this account here, which is our main account where we broadcast a lot of our football shows. We just launched a full press NHL on Sportscaster. So head over, if you're watching us here, head over to sportscaster.com/fullpressNHL if you're a hockey fan, and go and subscribe to the channel, because we're going to start turning out content from that account, hockey based, and perhaps we'll get something of an update on the Jay Bouwmeester situation there. But like I said, if you're a hockey fan, check it out, follow it, and get ready for some great hockey content down the stretch. So Mike, this is a quick little cup of tea here. A little brunch, a little quick discussion, and we hit none of the points we planned on talking about because we spent the whole show talking about wrestling. So,
well, you know what? On a quick show, it's actually good that we got the wrestling talk out of the way, because we'll hit the hard topics tomorrow. Thank you very much, folks, for bearing with us today. We appreciate it. Always a pleasure to join this man on the microphone each and every morning. So I look forward to it tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, later today we have. What is today? Wednesday, right? Okay, never mind. Actually,
yes,
we are recording. I was going to go back off the hockey thing. We're actually recording a Big Bad Bruins podcast tomorrow because there's game day tonight. It's Bruins Canadiens tonight, so we can't record a podcast right before that game. We got to react. But we will. Mike and I will be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. sharp. Another great episode of FPC Radio Live, both here and on Full Press Radio. So in the meantime, give us a follow. It's at FPC Radio Live. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at IGLEN31. And he is at MDABATEFPC. Have a great day, folks. And we will see you mañana.